from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here he is. Felipe Esparza joins us. He's headed to Wichita in a few weeks. He'll be at the Scottish Rite Temple on Friday, August 23rd. You can get tickets at Felipe'sWorld.com. Felipe Esparza, our guest. Hello, Felipe.
Hello, man. What's up, everybody? What's up, fools?
Well, we're just amazed. I was looking at your schedule, and you'll be performing in a couple nights in Australia, so it leads me to ask, where are you now?
Right now, I'm at home in San Fernando Valley in California.
So when do you embark on this journey to Australia, and how long is it?
I leave tomorrow. I'm going to be there for 9 days. I'm performing in Sydney and Melbourne, Australia.
Good stuff.
How far does your work get, Felipe? Australia is pretty far. Obviously, there's a lot of ways to get your comedy out there these days. Where else might you perform someday?
I performed in Rotterdam, Holland. Rotterdam, Holland, Netherlands, in the Netherlands. I performed December. Yeah, that was an 11-hour flight from New York. And yeah. I had fans there. There were a lot of Dutch fans who were, I guess, Latino and different people from my podcast. People from Belgium took a train to my show. So I had a decent crowd.
Yeah, it's a very small world, but it has to be a little bit surprising when you step on a stage in Rotterdam and you get a bunch of people there who know you, right?
Yes, and they laugh different over there. Like, they laugh, but they don't, like, holler like you do over here in America. And if the jokes don't work, they just clap and, like, they give you a chance.
Felipe Esparza, our guest, again, he'll be here in Wichita on the 23rd, Friday, at the Scottish Rite Temple. So you won Last Comic Standing back in 2010. And
yes,
even I remember that. It really made waves. Just tell us about that experience and what you were doing before and how that all kind of changed your life.
Before Last Comic Standing, I was just a regular comedian performing 5 days a week at different comedy clubs in Hollywood, like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, and the Ice House. And I was fortunate enough to be working more at the Laugh Factory because they had more rooms. All other over Southern California. So I didn't have a car, but everything was like convenience for me. I would catch a bus to go do a show at the 8 o'clock show at the Laugh Factory on Friday, and then leave and then finish the 9 o'clock show in Long Beach on a train, come back on a train and a bus to be the last comedian up at the midnight show back in Hollywood. But I built a lot of fans along the way, you know, going up every day. Like, I would go up sometimes 9 times a week in Southern California. So I built a big fan base before social media. Well, actually, during social media is when people started noticing me. Then when I won Last Comic Standing, I won $250,000. And my son's mom, the next day, filed for child support. She became the last baby mama standing.
That's all it took.
I love that. Do you miss that show just being an avenue for comedians to make their name? I watched every episode, I think, probably, of every season. And you go back to season one, I think Gary Goldman was on. Todd Glass, who I absolutely love, was on that show. There were a lot of comedians that I really came to love on that show. So is it missed in the comedy world, or are there just so many other ways to get out there that maybe it's not as needed?
I think it's missed in the comedy world because I know podcasts are very popular, but some people still watch television, and they'll be glad to see a young comedian coming up. Also, it helps the comedians become better comedians, because when I was on the show, you had to come up with 3 minutes every time you compete. So it made me a better writer. And you had to write everything verbatim. And not only that, NBC Studios had a lawyer for the advertisers, and he would read the jokes, and they would scratch off jokes that might be censored because of the advertisers. And wow. Then they'll finally get to you, and you got to erase like 5 jokes. Because I remember Roy Woods Jr., he had a joke about Wendy's, and he had to change it to fast food change. And I had a joke about Guitar Hero that I had to change to that game with the colors and the guitar.
Talking with Felipe Esparza, coming to Wichita on Friday, August 23rd at the Scottish Rite Temple. So I'm always interested in somebody's story, and you've had your ups and downs in your life. And I'm just curious about the role comedy played, even when you were younger. Were you drawn to comedy as a kid? Who were some of your favorite comedians? And how much did you use comedy as a young person and even growing up as kind of a tool for you?
Well, my first time I heard comedy was we had a VCR. We were lucky to have a Samsung, a VCR. And we had someone loan me a VHS tape with 7 HBO specials. Back then, a VHS, you could make it 7 hours if you break the little clip in the back. So I saw Howie Mandel's 1-hour special, Paul Rodriguez, Robin Williams, George Carlin. So many different, Sam Kinison, and then Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedian Show, where I saw Seinfeld, Robert Townsend, Bobcat Goldthwait, and a bunch of different other comedians. So I grew up watching those. I watched the VHS for like 24 hours because we were at a sleepover and everybody fell asleep, and I ended up watching it over and over. I memorized all the jokes, and I would use them. And my teacher, like, if there was a funny situation, I would just throw in the joke I heard from Rodney Dangerfield.
Give us a good one you used from Rodney Dangerfield. I want to hear it.
Oh, man. One of his jokes was, I used it as a mama joke. I said, your mama's so dumb, she has to look in her bra to count to 2. Because Rodney Dangerfield has a joke. I tell you, my wife ain't so bright. She has to look in her bra to count to 2.
That's a really good impression, too.
That is a good impression.
So
then he goes,
Philippe.
Then he goes,
go ahead.
Yes. No, he has another joke about I caught my wife talking dirty. She was on the phone.
So, Felipe, are we in a golden era of Latin American comedians? Has that era already happened with Cheech and Chong and Paul Rodriguez? Is that era still to come? What do you think we're in as far as Latin American comedians? Because there's still a lot of funny ones. You among them, Steve Trevino, obviously Fluffy is there. What do you make of that?
I think a lot of Latino comedians are exploding on the social media end and are doing really well. And it's so nice to see them blowing up like that out of social media and actually using the tools that are available in this century, you know? Because back then when I wanted to do stand-up comedy, I had to go to a library and pick up a book and learn how to write. And a lot of these guys, they watch stand-up comedy and they learn it and they go up on stage, they get on these shows and they go viral and they're really funny, like Ralph Barbosa, Ken Flores, type people like that. So yeah, man, and they're also crossing over, you know, like not just Latinos go to their shows, even African Americans and Asians. At my shows, I get a lot of people who look like me, like Lebanese, Sikhs. I get people that are married to a Latina or married to a white guy. I get the crossover.
Felipe Esparza is our guest. Have you been to Wichita before? Have you performed here?
Man, long time ago, when I was opening up for Gabriel Iglesias, I went to the Luna Bin.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And it was over the river, you know. I learned a lot of stuff out there about the squinters.
Well, we missed the Looney Bin. It shut down a couple years ago.
Yeah, man. You have to know this, man, but the owner of the Looney Bin, he told me this crazy story that he used to be a disco dancer in the 70s.
Really?
And he used to compete in actual big dance disco competitions. And he went up against the guy who taught John Travolta how to dance. Danny Terrell, I think that's his name. And he said that guy ended up beating him, but that the guy that taught John Travolta asked him, hey, man, how did you get your shirt and not to come out of your pants? Because every time everyone else did the splits, their shirt would come uncuffed, but your shirt stood in. And he goes, well, this is an old country hillbilly trick, he said it. And he sewed an elastic on his T-shirt connected to his pants. So every time that he did a split, the shirt would come back down. And he told me that that's what John Travolta used in the movie to keep his pants in. He never got credit. And he said, if you go to any Planet Hollywood, I bet you the Saturday Night Fever John Travolta pants has a suspender, a little elastic that they took from his idea. Crazy, right?
That's crazy. That's a Wichita story I never heard. Felipe, thank you for being on. You need to get some rest for this long flight to Australia. When's the last time you were over there?
Never. The closest down under I've been to is Mexico.
Well, this is a little farther. It'll be a great experience for you, I'm sure. We really appreciate you coming on. We'll see you here in Wichita in just a little over 3 weeks. Thank you so much.
And I will let you guys know if they actually have shrimps on the barbie over there.
Please do. Yes, call us.
We do want an update, for sure. Thank you, Felipe.
You know, also, we had tornadoes in Mexico growing up, man. One time our house flew and we landed in California.
Now, is that a reference because you're doing a show for a couple of Kansas guys?
Something like that. I remember that's an old joke I used to have that never worked in California. I figured I'd try it against them.
Do you want to hang out for hour number two? We'll be happy to have you. Hey, thank you so much. It's been our pleasure. Thank you and best of luck on your tour.
Thank you very much for having me, man.
You bet.
Let's go Dodgers.
Felipe Esparza.
Yes.
Go Dodgers. Go Cardinals. Go Guardians.
You know,
we got it all
let me
covered.
Tell you a funny, before you go, let me tell you a funny story, man. I shook Reggie. I was in this breakfast spot in Seaside, California, by Monterey and Carmel, the wine country place. And Mr. October was sitting down, Reggie Jackson. And my friend reached over and said, Mr. Jackson, a big fan, big fan. And then I was nervous, you know, I'm nervous. And I'm a Generation X kid. So I said, man, Mr. Reggie Jackson, oh, my God, what an honor to meet you. When I was a little kid, my father and I, we saw Bob Welch strike you out in the World Series.
Probably not a great line.
I know, I didn't know. I said the bad thing because my friend came over and said, but you came back and hit 3 home runs, Mr. Reggie. He goes, I know what I did. Tell your friend that. He has amnesia.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Felipe. Yeah, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Felipe Esparza, he'll be at the Scottish Rite Temple Friday, August 23rd, and I think you'll want to see him after that.
Got to.
Felipe'sWorld.com, F-E-L-I-P-E-S, world.com, if you want to get tickets. And that show will be fantastic.
By the way, the Guardians got better. The Royals acquired Paul DeJong.
Paul DeJong is not a bad guy to come off the bench. And my wife will be even more of a Royals fan now. She's not a big Royals fan, but we all like Paul DeJong. We're very loyal to our former Cardinals in the house. You know what I say? You know what I mean?
Not really. But
why?
There are a few of Guardians I still appreciate, but once they're gone...
Well, I mean, I don't hang on everything they do, but I don't have any ill will toward Paul DeJong. Good luck to him.
Good luck,
Hope he cracks a few homers against you guys.
Well, I doubt it.
We'll be back. We've got an hour left. We've got a game coming up. It's the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Go Hog Wild Pit Barbecue. Hog Wild, get some for you.
It's $5.99 barbecue time. Hurry to Hog Wild for a complete barbecue meal that's sure to fill you up for only $5.99. Josh Wissing, Hog Wild partner and general manager at 47th and South Broadway, has got all the details on this smoking deal.
Get a Hog Wild sandwich loaded with our award-winning meats like pulled pork, pulled chicken, or hot links, plus your choice of classic side and a drink for just $5.99.
Upgrade your sandwich to beef brisket for just a dollar more. Join us for lunch or...
Holland, well, I'm Rotterdam, Holland, Netherlands, in the Netherlands. I performed
there last December.
Yeah, that was a 11-hour flight from New York. And yeah. I had fans there. I had, there were a lot of Dutch fans who were, I guess, Latino and different people from my podcast. People from Belgium took a train to my show. So I had a decent crowd.
Yeah, it's a very small world, but it has to be a little bit surprising when you step on a stage in Rotterdam and you get a bunch of people there who know you, right?
Yes, and they laugh different over there. Like, they laugh, but they don't, like, holler like you do over here in America. And if the jokes don't work, they just clap and, like, they give you a chance.
Felipe Esparza, our guest, again, he'll be in here. He'll be here in Wichita on the 23rd, Friday, at the Scottish Rite Temple. So you won Last Comic Standing back in 2010. And
yes.
Even I remember that. It really made waves. Just tell us about that experience and what you were doing before, and how that all kind of changed your life.
Before Last Comic Standing, I was just a regular comedian performing 5 days a week at different comedy clubs in Hollywood, like the Comedy Store, Laugh Factory, and the Ice House. And I was fortunate enough to be working more at the Laugh Factory. because they had more rooms all over Southern California. So I didn't have a car, but everything was like convenience for me. I would catch a bus to go do a show at the 8 o'clock show at the Laugh Factory on Friday, and then leave and then finish the 9 o'clock show in Long Beach on a train, come back on a train and a bus to be the last comedian up at the midnight show back in Hollywood. But I built a lot of fans along the way, you know, going up every day. Like, I would go up sometimes 9 times a week in Southern California. So I built a big fan base before social media. Well, actually, during social media is when people started noticing me. Then when I won Last Comic Standing, I won $250,000. And my son's mom the next day filed for child support. She became the last baby mama standing.
That's all it took.
I love that. Do you miss that show just being an avenue for comedians to make their name? I watched every episode, I think, probably, of every season. And you go back to season one, I think Gary Goldman was on. Todd Glass, who I absolutely love, was on that show. There were a lot of comedians that I really came to love on that show. So is it missed in the comedy world, or are there just so many other ways to get out there that maybe it's not as needed?
I think it's missed in the comedy world because I know podcasts are very popular, but some people still watch television, and they'll be glad to see a young comedian coming up. Also, it helps the comedians become better comedians, because when I was on the show, you had to come up with 3 minutes every time you compete. So it made me a better writer, and you had to write everything verbatim. And not only that, NBC Studios had a lawyer for the advertisers, and he would read the jokes, and they would scratch off jokes that might be censored because of the advertisers. And wow. Then they'll finally get to you, and you got to erase like 5 jokes. Because I remember Roy Woods Jr., he had a joke about Wendy's, and he had to change it to fast food change. And I had a joke about Guitar Hero that I had to change to that game with the colors and the guitar.
Talking with Felipe Esparza, coming to Wichita on Friday, August 23rd at the Scottish Rite Temple. So I'm always interested in somebody's story, and you've had your ups and downs in your life. And I'm just curious about the role comedy played even when you were younger. Were you drawn to comedy as a kid? Who were some of your favorite comedians? And how much did you use comedy as a young person and even growing up as kind of a tool for you?
Well, my first time I heard comedy was we had a VCR. We were lucky to have a Samsung, a VCR. And we had someone loan me a VHS tape with 7 HBO specials. Back then, a VHS, you could make it 7 hours if you break the little clip in the back. So I saw Howie Mandel's 1 hour special, Paul Rodriguez, Robin Williams, George Carlin, so many different, Sam Kinison, and then Rodney Dangerfield's Young Comedian Show, where I saw Seinfeld, Robert Townsend, Bobcat Goldthwait, and a bunch of different other comedians. So I grew up watching those. I watched the VHS for like 24 hours because we were at a sleepover and everybody fell asleep, and I ended up watching it over and over. I memorized all the jokes, and I would use them at my teacher. Like, if there was a funny situation, I would just throw in the joke I heard from Rodney Dangerfield.
Give us a good one you used from Rodney Dangerfield. I want to hear it.
Oh, man. One of his jokes was, I used it as a mama joke. I said, your mama's so dumb, she had to look in her bra to count a 2. Because Rodney Dangerfield had a joke. I tell you, my wife ain't so bright. She has to look in her bra to count a 2.
That's a really good impression, too.
That is a good impression.
So
then he goes, Philippe. And then he goes,
go ahead.
Yes. No, he had another joke about I go, I caught my wife talking dirty. She was on the phone.
So Felipe, are we in a golden era of Latin American comedians? Has that era already happened with Cheech and Chong and Paul Rodriguez? Is that era still to come? What do you think we're in as far as Latin American comedians? Because there's still a lot of funny ones. You among them, Steve Trevino, obviously Fluffy is there. What do you make of that?
I think a lot of Latino comedians are exploding on the social media end and are doing really well. And it's so nice to see them blowing up like that out of social media and actually using the tools that are available in this century, you know? Because back then when I wanted to do stand-up comedy, I had to go to a library and pick up a book and learn how to write. And a lot of these guys, they watch stand-up comedy and they learn it and they go up on stage, they get on these shows and they go viral and they're really funny, like Ralph Barbosa, Ken Flores, type people like that. So yeah, man, and they're also crossing over, you know, like not just Latinos go to their shows, even African Americans and Asians. At my shows, I get a lot of people who look like me, like Lebanese, Sikhs. I get people that are married to a Latina or married to a white guy. I get the crossover.
Felipe Esparza is our guest. Have you been to Wichita before? Have you performed here?
Man, long time ago, when I was opening up for Gabriel Iglesias, I went to the Looney Bin.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And it was over the river, you know. I learned a lot of stuff out there about the squinters.
Well, we missed the Looney Bin. It shut down a couple years ago.
Yeah, man. You have to know that, man, but the owner of the Looney Bin, he told me this crazy story that he used to be a disco dancer in the 70s.
Really?
And he used to compete in big dance disco competitions. And he went up against the guy who taught John Travolta how to dance. Danny Terrell, I think that's his name. And he said that guy ended up beating him, but that the guy that taught John Travolta asked him, hey, man, how did you get your shirt and your not to come out of your pants? Because every time everyone else did the splits, their shirt would come uncuffed, but your shirt stood in. And he goes, well, this is an old country hillbilly trick, he said it. And he sewed an elastic on his T-shirt connected to his pants. So every time that he did a split, the shirt would come back down. And he told me that that's what John Travolta used in the movie to keep his pants in. He never got credit. And he said, if you go to any Planet Hollywood, I bet you the Saturday Night Fever John Travolta pants has a suspender, a little elastic that they took from his idea. Crazy, right?
That's crazy. That's a Wichita story I never heard. Felipe, thank you for being on. You need to get some rest for this long flight to Australia. When's the last time you were over there?
Never. The closest down under I've been to is Mexico.
Well, this is a little farther. It'll be a great experience for you, I'm sure. We really appreciate you coming on. We'll see you here in Wichita in just a little over 3 weeks. Thank you so much.
And I will let you guys know if they actually have shrimps on the barbie over there.
Please do. Yes, call us.
We do want an update, for sure. Thank you, Felipe.
You know, also, we had tornadoes in Mexico growing up, man. One time our house flew and we landed in California.
Now, is that a reference because you're doing a show for a couple of Kansas guys?
Something like that. I remember that's an old joke I used to have that never worked in California. I figured I'd try it against them.
Do you want to hang out for hour number two? We'll be happy to have you. Hey, thank you so much. It's been our pleasure. Thank you, and best of luck on your tour.
Thank you very much for having me, man.
You bet.
Let's go Dodgers.
Felipe Esparza.
Yes.
Go Dodgers. Go Cardinals. Go Guardians.
You know,
we got it all
let me
covered.
Tell you a funny, before you go, let me tell you a funny story, man. I shook Reggie. I was in this breakfast spot in Seaside, California, by Monterey and Carmel, the wine country place. And Mr. October was sitting down, Reggie Jackson. And my friend reached over and said, Mr. Jackson, a big fan, big fan. And then I was nervous, you know, I'm nervous. And I'm a Generation X kid. So I said, man, Mr. Reggie Jackson, oh, my God, what an honor to meet you. When I was a little kid, my father and I, we saw Bob Welch strike you out in the World Series.
probably not a great line.
I know, I didn't know. I said the bad thing because my friend came over and said, but you came back and hit 3 home runs, Mr. Reggie. He goes, I know what I did. Tell your friend that. He has amnesia.
Oh, that's funny. All right, Felipe, are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's been our pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.